Sometimes we, well, actually we often, speak about our longing for heaven, our home where cares and troubles of this life don't exist. We know that heaven is a blessing, a reward for those who follow after Christ, but all the rewards for following God are not just consigned to the life hereafter. Our life as a Christian is a reward itself. As we grow and we learn how to apply the principles of Christ to our lives, we become better people. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's interesting that he uses a singular. He says the fruit of the Spirit. Because following after God brings about all these changes. It brings a life that is worth living, and other people respect for, it as well. Over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and starting with verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the obtaining of all steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. There's the joy of where we're going, but there's also temporal blessings. And it's only possible because the actions of the wicked may rob us of physical things. But in normal circumstances, the faithful will be able to build richly blessed lives that are in accordance with God's will. And it doesn't matter about the things in this world. All blessings are from Christ and in Christ. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so as we live this life, yes, one of the consequences of Adam's sin is that we have to toil for our living. But at the same time, our labors can be a blessing of God to enjoy the results of the things that we do. Work is not a curse. Yes, Adam's sin basically cursed us to work. But take a look at Genesis 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 17, it says, Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you'll eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your face you will eat your bread, until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But it's not the work itself that's the curse. It's the difficulty in gaining produce from working. This is what God had cursed mankind with. Actually, man had already been told to labor in the garden, to take care of it. God expects us to work. And He wants us to find work that we do and that we enjoy. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 And in verse 18, here is what I've seen to be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. We don't often think about it. We have this culture and mindset that, I guess it comes from going to school. We just got this attitude of saying, oh, I got to go again. And we seem to find it as a drudgery. But God says it's a reward for us. Yes, it's difficult work, but we see the result of our labors. And we can enjoy those results. And it's even greater joy when that labor is productive. And we're blessed to be able to enjoy what we produce. Also in Ecclesiastes 5, look at verse 19. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. For he will not often consider the years of his life because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. Every once in a while somebody, teasingly asks about, retirement and stuff like that. I tell them, Lord's willing, I'm not planning to retire. I enjoy what I do. And it's something that we all should strive for. That we enjoy the labors that we have, we enjoy the things that we are able to produce, and be able to share those things with other people. In fact, that's why we're commanded to work, so that we may be good, may do good with what we have produced. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 12, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Also in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. That's why we work. It's not just about ourselves. It's also about easing the burdens of others. And what we do have, we have to learn to be content. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and starting with verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. God has taken care of us. And with that, then we learn to be content. And we also find also contentment in our families. So wonder, at least as the prophet Agur stated, how a man and a woman find each other attractive and they get married. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8, or 18, Proverbs 30, and in verse 18, it says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, four things which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. There's just some things we just don't see, we don't understand. All those things you look at and you say, I don't see what makes it happen. And yet it does. It's a marvelous thing. When you find a good wife, God has gave you a favor for the men who find a good wife in Proverbs 18 and in verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I'm sure it goes the other way as well. We ought to look at that as the person that we have, God has blessed us with them. Because God said it was not good for man to be alone. He stated that from the very beginning. And a wife is a reward for the man in this life. And it ought to be, the other way around as well. Take a look at Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life, and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. And when a man and woman marry, there oftentimes children are the result. And that too is a blessing. In Psalms 127 in verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the head of or in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak of, with their enemies in the gate. Children too. I've seen some people that act as if children are a burden, another cost, another source of irritation. They're a blessing from God. In fact, the imagery in Psalms 128 is that of an olive tree sending out shoots from his roots, having its children gathering around. I don't know if you've seen fruit trees like that. They send out their roots and then other smaller trees pop up underneath. But in 128 it says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Yet to obtain that blessing is not without work. Again, there's effort that's expected. Parents have to manage their households. In fact, one of the qualifications for elders, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And elders are supposed to be striving for what is ideal in a Christian's life. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And those children need to be brought up in the ways of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To live to see your children's children, that's also a blessing in life. Because life is short. But to see God's righteousness being kept in succeeding generations, that's a precious thing in anyone's sight. Take a look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103, and in verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. And so we also need to find contentment in the way that we live our lives, when we walk with the pathway that God has set for us. Now, it starts out with a healthy fear of God, a strong awe of God and His great might. In Psalms 111 and in verse 10, Psalms 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. And back in Psalms 119, again he mentions that the fear of God. In Psalms 119, or sorry, not 119, 19. Psalms 19, and in verse 9. Psalms 19, verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's pure. And something that we ought to strive for. Because it leads to a life that's content. In Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19 and in verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. So that the one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. And God favors those who fear Him. In Psalms 147. Psalms 147 and in verse 11, the Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindness. See, when we walk His paths, it allows us to be helped by God. God's not our enemy, but our friend. In Psalms 37, Psalms 37, and in verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. When we follow after God, God cares for us. It doesn't say that we don't have troubles. The imagery that was used by the psalmist is it's not that we don't have falls. But God's there to hold us so it doesn't become major. That it's not going to become devastating. Walking God's path is basically doing God's will. Not striking out on our own or going our own way, following the paths of our own desire, but doing what God wants us to do. In Psalms 86, starting with verse 6, Psalms 86, starting with verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they will glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart with fear of your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. By doing God's teachings, this is one of the ways God protects us and keeps us out of trouble. It's the way God leads us and cares for us. Too often people look at God's commands and say, oh, they're restrictions. They're keeping me from what I want to do. Instead of looking at it and saying, no, they're like your parents' rules. They're there to protect you and to make life better. And God's way then becomes a source of strength. Take a look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. Also, the psalmist mentions in Psalms 18. Psalms 18 and in verse 30. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless? He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand upholds me. Your gentleness makes me great. You have enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. God's ways gives us strength so that we can endure. It can carry us then through the times of trouble. In Psalms 84, Psalms 84 and in verse 5, for they have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant. Oh, sorry, I'm reading 84, verse 5. Psalms 84, verse 5. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. It doesn't matter how dry the land around us might be. When we follow God's way, it's springs. When we do God's will, it's strength. And God then becomes a strong arm that we can lean upon. In Psalms 37 and in verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You can't benefit from this by fighting against God. You have to be with him. And we can do all things then with our Lord's aid. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He's not saying I can do anything I please. My way is following after God, and he strengthens me. And so, as a follower of God, we need to find contentment. All of us know the Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a life that we ought to desire? It's not a life that just happens. It's a result of applying God's teachings to your life. We need to make certain to practice these things. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. There's just no better time than right now to head down that straight path, to do what God has said. Life is uncertain. We don't know how much time we have. But God will be there and help us and support us and strengthen us if we yield to his will. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here wishes to become a child of God, we leave that opportunity open to you. Those of you who would like to have the prayers of the brethren on your behalf for whatever reason, again, that opportunity is there. If you come forward as we stand and sing the psalm, they'll select it.